Did we recognize, is anyone here for the very first time? Anyone visiting for the first time today? Yes. Brother Billy, did we have real good. We're delighted that you're here. Thank you. God bless you. Please turn your Bible tonight with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and tonight I want to talk to you about three things, about sowers, seed, and sinners. Three things about that. And so, Luke chapter 8, verse 5, let's stand for reading God's Word. We will read from verse 5 to verse 15. Luke chapter 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. I'm in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried and he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Oh, to God that we could hear what God's trying to tell us. We talked about this at the Romans class the other night. You know, many times we say, how can people not understand? We didn't understand until we came to know Christ as our Savior. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" He said unto them, look at verse 10, Annie. "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables he see, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand." Sometimes we say, I can't understand why they can't understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the what? Word of God. That King James Bible you got in your hand. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. I hate that devil. I'll be glad when the Lord someday comes back and takes him away. Amen. Until then, though, he's going to cause havoc in people's lives. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. Lest they should believe and be saved. You see, people don't lose their salvation. Hebrews 10:39 says, "But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Once people really trust Christ and get saved, they have eternal security. They live forever. They're saved. A lot of people make professions, but not possessions of Christ. Nope. The next verse, they on the rock, verse 13, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root. For a while, believe, and the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the, look at verse 15, Luke 8. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Oh, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With an honest and good heart, having heard the word. No one gets saved without hearing the word of God. Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious, holy, pure, and grafted word of God, preserved for all kind, for all man, for all time. And tonight, Father, I thank you that we can gather once again and, Lord, preach your wonderful word. Help me, Father, put your hand on me. Help me to preach with power and anointing of the Spirit of God. Lord, help me to lift up the name of Christ. May everything I say glorify you. And Father, I just pray that if there be anyone that's lost today, tonight, may they trust Christ as their Savior. And Father, may the saved become even greater sowers of the seed than they ever have. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This evening, my goal is to show you the most vital importance of God's holy word to your life and to the sinners. You know, this Bible is vital to the sinner, but it's also vital to the Christian. Sinner and saved alike, this Bible, the seed, the word of God, which the Bible is called the seed here, it's vital for you. Listen, this scripture is so vital to my life. It impacts my life far beyond what you can imagine. It impacts your life far beyond what you can imagine. It impacts the sinner's life far beyond what you can imagine. Can anyone say amen? Now notice, after reading the portion of scripture, we see there were four different reactions of those who received the seed. Verse 11 tells us the seed is the word of God. And the word was sent forth into four different areas of ground. Verse 5, seed fell by the wayside. Verse 6, seed fell upon rocky areas, stony ground, the stone. Verse 7, seed fell among thorns. And verse 8, which is number 4, seed fell on good ground. Thank God for that good ground. Amen. And we learned that of these four areas of ground who received the seed, the word of God, only one of the four, only the good ground, bear fruit. That means three of the four mentioned were casualties. Only one out of four was successful. So there were more casualties than success. There were more failures than success. More rejected than received. More died than lived. And of the many seeds that went out, only a few took root in good ground. Can anyone say amen? Now, I'd like you to hold your hand there in Luke, because I'm going to come back to it, but I want you to look with me in three verses. Look at Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Luke 13:24 says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you," how many? Many, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Most people, if you mention to them, Brother Eddie, do you want to go to heaven? Most people will say yes. They got to really be dumb to say no. But see, just saying yes don't mean you're going to go to heaven. Just saying you believe there's a God. The scripture says in James, the devil believes in God and trembles. You don't know God till you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Also, look with me in Matthew chapter 7. Hold your hand there in Luke, Matthew, in Luke 8 rather. And turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm trying to lay a foundation right now for the message. In Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." In other words, most people are going to hell. Not God's will, but most people are going to hell. Because straight, verse 14, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you found eternal life through Jesus Christ, you ought to say every day, "God, thank you for saving my soul." Look at verse 21 not of the same chapter, Matthew 7. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We know what that will is. You that take Romans, in John chapter 6, verse 28, you that took Romans know that the truth that we teach there. They say, what can we do to get to heaven? In 6:20 and 6:29 in John, Jesus said, believe on him that he sent. In other words, believe on me. You believe on Christ, you'll get to heaven. Notice, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm going to tell you something. Christianity's real. It's Christianity's more than religion. Religion won't get you to heaven. Being a real Christian, though, will get you to heaven. Amen? And so we see here, and I want you to think about this. Why didn't all these many people get saved? Because there was a whole lot of them saying they thought they were going to get to heaven. How many hear what I'm saying? Well, some made professions of faith. Some said a prayer. Some mentioned the name of Jesus. Some even cast out devils. Some shook the hand of no doubt the preachers and the soul winners. Yet they didn't get to heaven. Tonight I want to share with you three things about sowers. Seed, singular, because there's only one seed. And sinners. Number one, I've only got three of them, but trust me, you'll get a full package tonight. Number one, salvation of sinners centers around and stems from the seed, the Word of God. Salvation of sinners centers around and stems from the seed, the Word of God. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus and the Word of God go hand in hand. Jesus is called the Word. You can't separate Jesus and the Word. They go hand in hand. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And so, many times when you're talking about the Word, you're also talking about Jesus. Can anyone say amen? Now, I told you that it was for the sinner, salvation, they must have the seed. Before people can get saved, A, they must hear God's holy word. Amen. By the way, you notice when we read verse 15, it said they heard. Right. If you remember, go back to Luke 8, you'll see that in verse 15. They heard. See, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. People just don't get saved by accident. People got to hear. They got to hear the Word of God. They got to see it. Like the Word of God's got to come into their life. The seed, just like if you want to have tomatoes or corn or anything, you got to plant seed in the ground to get that crop up. To get saved, there has to be seed, God's Word planted in people's heart. Or they can't be saved. Impossible to get saved without seed. Now, if you believe, and I do, that this King James is the pure Word of God, and that God only wrote one Bible, and that the Word of God is true from cover to cover, and this is the one God wrote, if you believe that, and I do, then what Bible, what seed do they have to hear to get saved? It has to be a seed that's not corruptible. Dr. Lacey brings this out. And I'll read a verse to you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You don't have to believe me, but this is the truth. And I'm not just saying this because Dr. Lacey believes it. I believe it because I believe the Bible teaches it. But I think he's a pretty smart fellow, Dr. Lacey. He believes everything like I do. I know he's smart. I can't catch him in anything, hardly. That's why I bring him in every year. I know what he's going to say because I believe everything he says. Except for maybe one or two things. Notice, verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. What did the Bible, verse 11, say this was? Seed. Are you with me? The Bible's called seed. So, this old King James Bible, it's the seed. It's the Word of God. Notice, being born again. How many are glad they're born again?
Amen.
Well, you didn't get born again of corruptible seed. No, you can't get born again by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Something that doesn't have any flaws in it. This is the one that's got no flaws in it. This is perfect. But of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So under number one, A, you must hear God's holy word, and it must be God's holy word. B, there must be really, I'm still on number one, by the way, I'm just giving you some sub-things underneath. B, they must really understand they are lost sinners and need to be saved. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19 with me. Luke 19. By the way, I hope a bunch of us will get excited this week and invite a whole bunch of people to the revival, the little mini revival we're going to have next week here with our evangelists. Let's try to pack this place out. Amen? In Luke chapter 19, a lot of you know the story about Zacchaeus, don't you? Look at verse 9. Jesus said unto him, talking in Luke 19:9, Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus. Jesus said to him, this day, Zacchaeus, is salvation come to this house. For as much as he is also the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to, why did he come? Seek and to save with that which was lost. Listen, if you've never been saved, you're still lost. What do you got to do to be lost? Nothing. You're condemned already because you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now stay with me. Did you notice something about this, Roddy? First of all, people got to realize they're lost. Second of all, they need to have some godly sorrow. And I see godly sorrow here in verse 8 and 9, especially verse 8 of Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, if I falsely accuse anyone, I'll restore to him fourfold. That's repentance. How many are still with me? I want you to turn with me. Keep your back there in Luke 8. But look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And look at verse 9 and 10. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10. Paul said, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to the repentance. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. He said, I'm glad you had repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For, look at verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? To salvation. Not to be repented of. Don't be sorry that you're sorry. Be glad that God broke your heart over sin. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Yeah, the guy gets caught robbing a bank. He said, I'm sorry. He's not sorry he robbed the bank. He's sorry he got caught. That's not sorrow. Sorrow's a thief on the cross that was no good, wretched, no good, ready for hell. And he said, Lord, I deserve everything I'm getting. Please remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be in paradise. See, that man had real repentance on the cross. The other man, he just said, if you're Christ, get us both off here. He didn't give a flip about Jesus. He just wanted off that cross. How many see the difference? Now, stay with me. I want you to look at one more scripture and we'll go back to Luke. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20. I'll get going here the right way. Here we go. I knew I had the book of Acts here somewhere. Chapter 20 and verse 31. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How many see that?
Amen.
How many see that? Acts 20, 21. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks. That means everybody. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why am I doing that? I'm going to tell you why. Salvation is more than just saying a prayer. It needs godly sorrow with it. It needs to be accompanied along with the faith. There should be repentance. Matter of fact, I don't believe faith ever comes till repentance comes first. I think a man gets convicted of being lost and of a sin, and then he turns to Christ for forgiveness. That's the order. Now stay with me. Now I'm going to make a statement. But before you turn me off, because I'm going to make a statement. Some of you are going to go, I don't know about that preacher. Before you turn me off, hear me out. With that in mind, where are all the thousands and thousands and thousands of converts who say in a prayer and never enter the church? We got everybody going out soul winning, and I'm all for soul winning, man. I preach my heart out today about people going to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. People just don't get saved just like that. Now, you can get mad at me if you want. Oh, I can see they can get saved just on that if there have been people prior putting scripture in and preparing their heart. When you plant something, does it come up the very instant that you plant it? You better believe it. Listen to me. We hear thousands and thousands. We had a preacher years, a couple years ago. He had 30, 40 people saved. We don't have one in our church today. Where are they all at? Well, come on! I know it's good to walk the dog.
Yeah, that's it.
You can walk the dog all you want. Don't walk around me. I've been around. I've been in the ministry over 25 years. You can get mad all you want. I've worked, and I work daily with people. I witness daily to people. I try to reach people's lives daily, pray for them. See, it just doesn't come just like that. I think we should be always... I'm not knocking soul winning. I love soul. I think everybody should go soul winning. I think we should continue putting out the seed. But all this hype where 50 people get saved on a street corner in two minutes. I have a hard time with that. Hey, we went this whole summer. We knocked on doors. Some of you didn't, but a lot of us did. Some of my biggest criticizers probably never knocked on one door. But this summer, we had reached our Jerusalem. And every Saturday, me and Dave and the kids, and Brother Carl, and I can't name everybody, we went out and we knocked on doors. We went door to door trying to witness to the people. And we're going to keep doing that, by the way. And I think a church that doesn't is wrong. By the way, Brother Harold said he's free. He's home this week. Anybody want to go soul winning? You got some extra time? See Brother Harold because he'd love to go with you. He's a soul winner. But Brother Steve, you know what we got? I thank God for it. One of the ladies, they led Gertie to Christ. And if we wouldn't have went, we wouldn't have Gertie. But what I'm trying to say is, how many hundreds of doors? I'm not knocking. Please, hear me out. Hear me out before you write me off. Please listen to me before you write me off. I'm for it. I believe it. But this, a lot of these, there's a lot of things made a lot of times that it's hard for me to grab hold of. Eddie, I'll bet you we knocked on, Brother David, 2,000 houses. Would that be a good estimate, Carl, at least? close to it, all the weeks combined. You had 10, there was times we had 19 people out here during the summer. We had 19 people, 20 people going on visitation during that time. Most of them were teens. But then Brother Mike and Belinda and their kids came, and the teens and Eddie. And, how many remember that? Remember that, Kyle? And we knocked on doors, and we left. And man, I mean, we just didn't leave a track. We tried to witness to the people. I didn't try to go out and just mass. I said, knock on the door, try to talk to the people. And we're going to do it again. As long as I'm pastor and got breath in me, we're going to do it every year. We're going to keep knocking on doors, Brother Harold, because that's God's way. But what I want you to see, because I don't want you to become discouraged. Out of 2,000 doors that we knocked on, and praise God we knocked on them, we see one. That's real fruit. If we wouldn't have went, you wouldn't have had that. What I'm saying, few come in the gate. Don't get discouraged. Don't get say, what's the use of going out? There's no sense of going out. Nobody ever, yeah, they're out there. You just don't, listen, the majority will turn you away. But there are some out there like Miss Gertie. Amen? And to me, Miss Gertie, what we did for the whole summer, you were worth every bit of it. Are you still with, are you getting with me? I want you to see this. Because Satan will use it, well, what's the use of going? Nobody gets saved. And then we hear these other people get hundreds of people saved. They're walking the dog. I don't believe all that stuff. You can get mad at me what you want. Now, I will say this, the larger churches that run in the thousands, sure, you're going to see more people walk the aisle when you have a congregation running in the thousands because they've got more people to bring people in. I tell you, a lot of Christians get discouraged and say, well, we must not love God. We're not doing it right. Listen, you just keep telling people about Jesus. That's the right thing to do. By the way, I don't save anybody. Salvation's of God. Hope I'm not boring you. Listen, where are all these thousands that make these converts, Brother Roddy, that say they're saved? They're found there in Luke chapter 8. Turn to Luke chapter 8. That's why I'm reading this. They're found in Luke chapter 8. They're in the, Brother Roddy, those ones that, they're in the wayside, they're in the stony ground, and they're in the thorns. See, look at, just because a person says a prayer, I said a prayer and wasn't saved. So about a year later that I really got saved. Jesus said, the reason you don't see these people, even though they make professions of faith, the word got on stony ground or the thorns or the wayside in it, and it just didn't take. They were pricked in the heart, but salvation didn't come. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You don't have to beg people that are really saved to come to church. People that are really saved, Robert, they want to come. There's something about a Christian, they desire to hear about their Savior. Jesus said, I've given them eternal life. It's not a fact that they lost, well, I bet they lost their salvation. Listen, no one, when you get saved, you can't lose your salvation. Tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm going to teach justification. You're sealed. You're sanctified. You're set apart. There's so many things it's unbelievable what God does for you. No, most people just never got it. Listen, it takes plenty of seed and watering to bring forth a good crop. People just don't get saved by accident. I want you to turn to the script. Oh, Luke, come back if you haven't turned me off yet. See, I'm not here to impress anybody, so I can say just about what I feel like saying. All I want to do is do what I think God wants us pleased with. First Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 6 through 8. I have planted, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I'm hoping a lot of people hear that message I preached this morning on the internet. But I'm going to tell you, before they get saved, if they get saved, I guarantee you someone's put seed in their heart and that'll just be water. Or maybe they'll hear that message and they'll put seed and then later on someone witness and then God will water and then God will give the increase. Now he that planteth, I'm not trying to make salvation hard. I'm just telling you, when salvation's real, there's repentance. They know they're lost. The word of God's preached. They got to hear the word. And they realize they need Christ as Savior. Amen. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man receives his own reward according to his own labor. But you know, there's planting and there's watering. How many see that? That's why you just keep going back. Keep telling. I told Annie, don't give up on your brothers. I told Betty today, she was in tears. She said, my dad's just like that. I said, Betty, keep going telling your dad, you love him and Christ loves him. Keep. I said, you never know, someday it might turn to salvation for him. Now I want you to see something. Go back to Luke chapter 8. Many times, look at Luke chapter 8, verse 6. By the way, in Corinthians, what were the two things essential? Planting? Tell me, what's the two things? Planting and watering. Planting and watering. Planting and watering. And it's all the Word of God. The seed. Once you plant it, then you keep watering that seed so it'll germinate, come up. Bear fruit. Are you with me? Notice in verse 6. Some fell upon the rock. I'm in Luke 8. It sprung up, but did you notice? It withered away because it lacked something. It lacked moisture. It lacked water. Some plant, some water. Some plant, some water. See, no doubt the seed was planted and they got excited. But so, you know what, Roddy? They got excited, but they didn't get saved. Because it wasn't watered and it withered away. How many see that? I'm just reading the scripture to you. Don't get mad at me. Listen, many times people are pricked in the heart, but they're not converted. They might get stirred for a short season for religion. But religion is not salvation. But they did not get repentance unto salvation. They got religion, but not repentance unto salvation. And there's a difference. And that's why they drop out, and that's why we don't see them. I'm on a serious note, but I'll have fun with the kids right now. They didn't get the real thing. Listen, sinner's salvation comes from the heart. Are you in Luke chapter 8? Look what it says there in verse 15, the one that got saved. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. But on the good ground, which is in a honest and what? Yeah. Put right there Romans 10:10. Look up here. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth on the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made of salvation. I try to get people to say prayers, but I try to get it from their heart. And I always, a lot of times, if you hear me, I'll say, if it's not from your heart, it's not going above this ceiling. Because it's with the heart, man believeth on the righteousness. I guarantee you, I can go down this corner and I can probably persuade 20 people to say a prayer with me. But when they're praying, are they really getting? Are they just saying the words? I'm not against that. I'm not against that. I'm for witnessing. I guess I just want us to be understanding when we witness. Let's try to be thorough in our witnessing.
I pass out tracts almost every day of my life. I try to get the word out everywhere I go.
I love going to hospitals. I'm in them every week. I might as well love them. There's not hardly a week in my life that I'm not in a hospital. Seriously. One of my famous sayings when I get on an elevator, I like when there's a lot of people, they'll say, I said, which way are you going? I'll say, I'm going up when Jesus comes. Or we'll be heading down. I'll say, which way? I said, I'm going down for right now, but I'm coming back. I'm going up when Jesus comes. How about you? Boy, this is a wild man. Kind of wait with the door open before you do that to him. Because, Harold, I love it. When you say that to him and the door's closed, oh, I'm with a maniac. He's from the seventh floor. They let him loose. Please. They'll pray, oh, God, if there is one up there, please get me out of this elevator with this crazy fat man. There's a, opera. I talk to him about the doctor. Say, well, I know my doctor's a great physician, Jesus. There's so many ways you can witness, and there's so many things. And by the way, the hospital is so many hurting people. You can make a ministry, trust me. You can make a ministry just going in the hospitals and trying to reach out to those that are hurting hearts. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I need to keep going. So, number one, salvation comes from the word of God, from the seed. The sinner to be saved must have the seed. There's no salvation for a sinner without the seed, without the word of God. Number two, not only is there salvation, there's no salvation without the seed, but our service for God. Our service for God centers around the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart, there's that heart again, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, the seed, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, those who continually stay in God's word will have a more surrendered life and service for God. Listen, our service centers around the word of God. Those who will bear fruit will abide in the seed and the word, which we know the word also can refer to Jesus. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And look at verse 1 through 8. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. I'm in John 15:1. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch that's in me beareth not fruit. If you're not in him, you don't bear fruit. He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, in the word, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you accept, you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He, that Christian, that servant of God, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do what? And so those that abide in Christ, abide in the word, those that have a consistent, constant walk with God, a consistent walk with God in the pages of his word, fill their heart with the seed, those people are going to produce. They will be servants that you're going to see success come from. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Are you that are saved, if you don't stay in the word, you will not bear fruit. How many want to win souls? You don't read your Bible, you'll never win souls. Because you won't have a heart to care. And you won't be filled with the Spirit. And when you do have that opportunity, you won't know what to say. But see, when you're filled with God's Word, you have a reservoir of that seed ready to be spread out. And when you're close to God, you want to spread it out. You don't want people to go to hell. You want to give them the engrafted word of God. When you stay in the Bible, you get boldness. You get strength. You get encouragement. You get comfort. And you get power to say, yes, I don't care what the world thinks. I'm going to tell them about Jesus, my Savior. And then lastly, not only do we need the seed for salvation, we need the seed of the Word of God for our service. Number three, in closing, our success centers around the Word of God. You want to see this church go great? Brother Mike, if we could get everybody just to get in the Bible and study the Bible a lot. See what it does. The Bible literally motivates our life. It gives us the heart of God. We have the heart of God. We reach out with the heart of God, don't we? Hello? See, for instance, like great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're mad at me tonight, you're probably not perfected in God's love. Because great peace have they that love thy law. And believe it or not, when we get into God's word, we can take all the fiery darts of all and things that would offend us, and we say, oh, we love you anyways. Yep. Yep. Lastly, success centers around the word of God. The early church in the book of Acts were very successful because they centered their lives around preaching and the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 people were saved in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, verse 44, 5,000 people were saved. Man, they had 8,000 people and they had more than that. I mean, can you imagine? 3,000, 5,000? Man, they were having Hallelujah Square in the early months. Turn with me, and I'll close with these. Look at Acts chapter 2. I want you to see this. But it was all centered around the Word of God. This is how vital this Bible is to us. It's so vital to the sinner. It's so vital to the saved one, too. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. What's that? The Word of God. And fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. 46. They continued daily. One accord in the what? What do you do in the temple? You hear God's word. Hello? The temple's like the church today. Praying, praising, preaching. Breaking bread house to house, eating meat with gladness and singleness of heart. See, when you get with the Lord, you'll get that singleness of heart. So many people, Christians, are bitter today. If they get in the Word of God, they get so much better. Look at the preachers. Look at the apostles said in John chapter 6. Look at 6:4. Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the what? Oh, they knew what was important. They knew prayer and the Word of God, the seed. That's why we call seed line. We have a seed line for. They knew that the Word was the key. The Bereans, they studied every day, the Scripture says. I'm not going to turn to it tonight, to make sure what people said was true or false. The trouble with most Christians today, they didn't read their Bible. That's why you can get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Idiots on TV, idiots on radio, because you're not grounded in the Word of God. And so they toss you to and fro. You believe every wind of doctrine. And people get off on tangents because they're not grounded. They don't have the seed down deep in their heart. That's why I'm thankful for our Bible Institute and Sunday school and everything that we have here. Look at verse 7. And the Word, that seed, the Word of God, what? Increased. And because it increased, the Word, the number of the disciples, I'm in Acts 6:7. The Word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. You see, there's a great connection with the seed and the sinner and the sower. Brother Harold, if we don't have much seed, we're not going to be a very much sower. And if we're not sowing, there's not going to be many sinners saved. And it all stems from the center of the Word of God. Am I making sense to you folks?
In Acts chapter, don't turn, Acts 12, 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, to sum the message up, sowers, seed, sinners. Sinner or saved, all are dependent on the seed, the word of God.
Amen.
We were dependent on it before we got saved to be saved, and then now we're dependent on it afterwards after we are saved. You couldn't make it without it before, and you can't make it without afterwards to be successful for Christ. The reason the Church of Acts was so successful, they made the seed priority. Am I making sense to you folks?
Amen.
The sinner needs the pure seed of God for salvation to be saved. The servant needs the seed of God, the word of God, to bear fruit and to keep his life cleansed. Number three, the success of the servant of God is determined how much they give themselves over to the word of God. We have the word of God. How much of the word of God has a hold of us? I mean, do we read it 5 minutes a day? 1 minute a day? 1 hour a day? Half hour? See, everything, Brother Brett, stems, if I understand the scripture, and I think I do, Eddie, everything stems, this is the center, this is the focal point of getting people saved, and for sinners, and for servants to serve, and churches to be successful. So, I guess, where we stand in the Word will affect everything else. It'll affect sinners that we win and our servants and our walk with God and what happens at the church. How many understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so I think this should be priority. I think instead of watching TV for 2 hours a day, we ought to read our Bible for 2 hours a day. Okay, you can't do that. Well, then I think if watching TV for 2 hours a day, watch TV half hour and read your Bible over an hour. If this is more important. And I think that's where it's at, Deacon. Question. As a sower of the seed, how much seed are you sowing? Are we not sowing because we're not in the seed reading? As a servant of God, how much fruit are you bearing? I believe the seed has an effect on our bearing. As a faithful Christian, how successful for God have we been? I think, again, it all goes back to the Word. Forget about all the hoopla of other people.
Right.
Just get you and God by yourself.
Right. Yep.
Don't worry about what other men say. What about you? Just me. Me and God. You and God. How do we line up?
Yep.
The Bible says, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he be accounted of?" The sower, the seed, the sinner. The sower is dependent on the seed for service. The sinner is dependent on the seed for salvation. Whatever you need tonight, service or salvation, both are found in the seed.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I pray with all my heart. Lord, I preach this with my heart to try to be a blessing. Pray I didn't offend anyone. Pray no one misunderstood you. I think there's a lot of people taken up with a lot of things today, though. They're really more enamored about what people say than what they really do. And so, Father, I pray that we'll just be taken up with the Word of God. That as we get taken up with the Word of God,
we'll be great sowers of the seed. We'll be great servants of the Savior. And success will come to our life and to the churches. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, first of all, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you need to be saved tonight. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He rose the third day. He's in heaven. If you've never asked Christ to save your soul from hell and repent of your sins, you need to do that tonight. And he sang a song, there's room at the cross. There really is. Though millions have come, there's still room for more. One more. Still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, include me in that prayer. Preacher, I'm really not sure if I died. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about if you died right now. If you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? When you die, you either go to heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no middle place. Once you die, you either forever go to heaven or you forever go to hell. And once you die, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you depart into eternity unprepared to meet God. That's why Jesus said, come, come. I believe the greatest invitation in the whole Bible is the word come, come. Jesus said, come unto me, come unto me. Tonight, I want to encourage you. If you've never asked Christ to save your soul, to come, and not to join this church, not to become religious, but to ask Jesus to save your soul from hell and to take you to heaven when you die. Pastor, I've never done that. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Preacher, include me in that prayer. I've never done that, and I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me. Include me in that. Preacher, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Are you sure tonight? All these things are written that you might know that you have an eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He that the Son hath life, he that not the Son of God hath not life. I wonder tonight in our busy schedules, how much time do we make for the seed? How much time do we really take and make the Bible a big part of our life? It should be the center of our life, the showcase, the important thing of our life. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I've not read my Bible like I should lately. And God spoke to my heart tonight, yes, sir. And I'm going to start reading it more. God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you, yes. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Oh, grab hold of this engrafted word. Look at all the great servants of God. Those people spent time with the Lord in his word. It's in the word. And the word will lead you to prayer. And prayer will lead you to people that need to reach Christ, need Christ. And you'll witness with power. And you'll give out the seed. The word, the engrafted word, the seed from heaven, and sinners will be saved. Don't be afraid to witness. I want everyone to keep witnessing, keep telling people, take a bunch of tracts tonight, keep putting it out, because you just keep putting that seed out. Sometime there's going to be good ground. Devil will tell you, what's the use? There's no use. Oh, look, all we got is one person. Oh, no, that. Thank God there was someone there that had good ground. And who knows? We put seed in some of those people this last summer, Brother Mike. And next summer when we go, who says this summer when we go back in the spring, maybe we'll put some water and God will give increase of the same people that said no the first time. That's why you just keep going and going and going. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I pray I glorified your name. I tried to. pray I didn't say anything that was out of line. Lord, I just know that the seed has to go out. And there has to be repentance and sorrow and faith towards Christ before salvation comes. It's more than just grabbing a person's hand and saying a prayer. Lord, if that person understands, so hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, help us never to be reluctant to say that prayer with them. Please, I hope my people don't understand. I want them to keep saying those, witnessing to keep saying those prayers with them. As we say it, let's try to really make sure those people understand. Let's really give them the full counsel of God, the gospel. I pray that you'll bless us as we are sowers of your seed. We ask your blessings on us and help us to read, study, have your engrafted word in our hearts so we might speak when people ask that hope that's in us. Help us to have that seed embedded that we can speak fluently. The hope that you put within us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.